Carrie's Couch. Carrie's Couch.
On Carrie's Couch this morning, I want to take you back to 2020. And I know you don't want to go there. I know you don't want to go there because you think your 2020 was hard. Oh, well, well, well. This Wonder Woman that I have on my couch today, not only is she all different levels of gorgeous, but I think we must thank her genes for that. She does humanitarian work. She has authored. And she's a mom. Oh, but you're also a mom. No, but she's like a mom mom. A mom? Two, three, four, five? No, I have on the couch with me this morning, Pearl Osa, who was a finalist for Mrs. South Africa 2020 while pregnant with her 11th child. And I am very amazed that you found 20 minutes where I don't even hear chaos in the background to come and speak to me. So, Pearl Osa, thank you for joining me on Carrie's Couch. Good morning and welcome to East Coast Radio.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. The pleasure is absolutely mine.
I do just have no words. So I know that you don't know me, so I'm going to give you a little background. I'm child-free, but I'm a very hands-on aunt for my sister's three. Now, my sister has three under five, so obviously at one point she had three under three, and then I thought she was next level. And I was in the car, and I was just scrolling through my news feed, and something came up, and there was a beautiful image of you, I think, standing with your kids on the stairs, all lining up. And I think it was just that the alleged story of the woman and the decuplets came out. And I thought, more now, what is going on? This woman has 11. And not only does she have 11 children, she homeschools and she has time to put on makeup. So I know that somewhere inside of you, you are not human. There is a gene that comes directly from God to here. And we need to find out what's going on. So Pearl, where are you from? Where were you born? And how many children were in your family?
So I come from a family of just one child. That's me, myself, and I. And I always used to say that I'm going to beat Ugogo's record. Like, I need to just have more than my grandma. Now, get this. My grandma had 11. So I was joking, though. But I was joking. And this is the thing with, you've got to be careful what you say because you just might get it. I was joking. In my mind, I was going to have three children max, you know, the picket white fence, the corporate gig, that was where I was going. But I think I was one of those people who would, you know, I love children. Like, I love children. So I would be oohing and aahing and gushing over strangers' children at the mall. My reaction was always, just wait till I have my own. But then in my mind, my own was going to be two. Really, okay. It was, but my mouth said 12. And here we are now.
So I have to ask this, and please, I hope it's not coming from a rude space. How many daddies for the 11 babies?
One daddy.
Stop it. Oh, this is going to be the worst Father's Day. How do you even?
One daddy. We started celebrating Father's Day this Sunday. We're like, dude, you're a legend. We can't give you one day. Whoa. It's going to be a 7-day celebration.
And did daddy have any idea what he was in for when he met you and you two started procreating? Had you said to him that I want you for the stadium?
Okay. None of us did. This has been a divine walk. So we both, we didn't really talk about it. In my mind, as I said, it was two or three. And then we were going, and when we got to five, he said to me, you know, we're extremely busy individuals, and we're like joined at the hip. We do literally everything together, but you are not as strong when you're pregnant. And I feel for you, and I want you to slow down. But then I slow down with you, and our life's purpose seems to be slowing down. So I think we need to stop now. And I was fine with it. But funny enough, I entered into a sort of depression. First and last time in my life, I got depressed at the thought of this fifth child being the last child. But I didn't want to share it with him, and I thought I was crazy, and I just went on with it. Till two totally different people came to us and said, listen, I had a dream, and in the dream, a voice told me to let the Osas know not to stop. Whoa. That we still have, so the voice is supposed to be the voice of God speaking. Let's put it that way. Okay. And he says, I still have children to bring through that family. Tell them not to stop. So I'm thinking, okay, this must be a destiny project, because why would I feel depressed about stopping, pregnancy? That doesn't make sense.
After five.
And my husband was like, whatever's after five. He's like, well, whatever's to be will be. And I don't react well to contraceptives, just in case that's your next question.
Okay.
Make me sick as a dog.
Okay.
So he was like, okay, cool. Let's just do what it is we're called to do. I mean, let's move. And we're sitting on 11 now, and I cannot be happier. It's clearly my life's purpose. It's one of those don't try this at home kind of disclaimers. It works for me.
Do you have any multiples?
No. One.
Okay, so let's say, for example, I mean, my maths is not outstanding, but let's say, and I know that some babies come prem, some are to 10 months, but let's say that you had 11 babies all at 9 months. 9 times 11, that's pretty easy. We've got a 99 here. If we take 99 months, divide that by 12 months in the year, you're looking at 8 and a quarter years. 8 and a quarter years, you have been pregnant. You must have eaten some crazy things. Did you have some, were you like the chalk and mud woman or what?
No. Funny enough, not. And I really couldn't keep down food a lot in my earlier pregnancies. It was a bad morning sickness from the first to the last month of pregnancy. But in the last couple of pregnancies, then it's been easier. However, get this. So I'm pregnant in the pageant, as you mentioned.
Yes.
And I had to be disciplined because in the month of the baby's birth, I was expected to then be in a swimming costume for the top 25 judging. So I couldn't go crazy. I ate responsibly to make sure the baby had enough food. But this was the first time that I realized that it's true that you don't necessarily eat for two. And that's just a myth. So I was really, you know, continuing with...
You realize that somewhere there's a woman right now who's like 6 months post a baby. And she's still going, I just had a baby. I just gave birth. And she's now listening to you.
I was in a bikini exactly 4 weeks postpartum, which is still
four
a lot.
Weeks.
But I mean, it was 4 weeks. Yeah. Baby was born October.
Yeah.
And luckily, so we moved it up. It wasn't November anymore. Baby was born October and I was in a bikini literally 4 weeks to the day. And no one knew. No one knew. No one had an idea that I'd had a baby. We just mingled. I told them only.
Where are you from?
When you saw the article.
Okay. And my sister, she knows that I'm going to interview today. And CJ has her three that were under three at one point, now under five. And she is a shadow of her former self. She wants me to ask you. if you did you natural birth first of all?
No. I had two natural births. The remaining nine have been Caesars.
Okay, so were the first two natural, or did you pepper some natural in there?
No. The first two were natural, and then the last nine were Caesars.
Okay, so you not only gave birth, but you also had a pretty major surgery, and then went and did a bikini in 4 weeks. Okay, divine. The other question was my sister again. Where do you find the seconds to sleep? Because we know that you homeschool. Where do you find that time?
Good question. So I'm one of those people who would travel, and this is long before the 11 children. I think like a child 6 or 7, my favorite pastime became sleeping. It used to be art and it used to be all those fancy things. But you know what? Now I love to sleep. And I was just saying to my husband, now I got up, had gym this morning, did a bit of work towards the program we have this week, got the children organized in their chores. And I said to him, I'm going to grab a 15 minute before I speak to you. So it's literally those sorts of things. It's here, there, everywhere. But I find what's important is the quality of the sleep, even if I can't get the quantity of the sleep.
And how much help do you and your hubby have at home? I mean, do you have a helper per child or a couple around the house? Or how does that... Please don't tell me you don't have help, woman. Otherwise, I actually can't continue this.
Okay. I don't have help.
What?
I'm sorry. Like, I don't. No. But. Here's the thing. Number one, my mom was around to help while the baby was, you know, still younger than 3 months. So I had help there. Number two, my husband is extremely hands-on.
Okay.
He's a very, very hands-on, practical, bathing, diapers, feeding, you know, kind of daddy, which is why we're celebrating Father's Day for 7 days straight.
Well, 7 years.
But also, what people don't understand, they see me now and they see me apparently flying and doing so much and juggling so much. One thing I need to tell them is that if you are a round peg in a round hole, it would look effortless what you do. You don't ask a fish, how do you swim in water? And you don't ask a bird, how you fly in the sky. But if they exchange places, you would see it be a hot mess.
Yeah.
So I'm doing my purpose and therefore it's easy for me. That's number one. Number two, I live life very deliberately in seasons. So I come from a strong corporate executive and project management background. And so I plan everything meticulously, not just for the day, but literally for seasons, for like lifetimes ahead. So there was a time when I took a pause. I didn't go to work. I had no employment, almost a decade. And all I did was, you know, pour into my children. And I could see people that I had started life with seem to fly, seem to go ahead, seem to accomplish things. But that was my season to stop. And so all of my degrees were parked. My ability to write books, to speak on stages, whatever it was I could do, was given to, you know, building the next generation. And I built them consciously, academically, spiritually, morally, emotionally, but also with the basics physically of how to keep house. Because I don't want to be one of those moms who thinks that the measurement of my motherhood is in how many people I can serve and break my back. No. That's not it. It's how many people I can raise to stand on their own, even if I'm not there. So today, these people can, you know, clean house, they can cook. My children make better stiff pop and sump than I do, right?
Okay, so now you've actually got employees and employers, I guess.
There you go. And so my entire corporate world, I brought it into the house and we run it like a machine. It's, you know, you've got goals, you've got tasks, you get remunerated. What are you planning today? And everyone owns their space. This is my goal. I'm meeting it or I'm not meeting it. I'm not in the mood or I am in the mood. You know, it works perfectly for me. So I don't need help at this stage.
All right. I'm going to continue with some other questions here. I remember growing up, so my family, we had three siblings, but my dad comes from a family of nine siblings. So I understand like that big dynamic. And as adults, they have the best time. But growing up, it was a situation where the boys shared a room, the girls shared a room until they, you know, got a little bit older. And then the older ones would share and the younger ones would share. With your kids, are you guys just, have you just bought like an entire farm over? Are the children squashed in? How does the home situation work?
So right now we're doing exactly what your dad's family did growing up. It was boys, girls, and it was by age. But I tell you, I'm combing the market so desperately for a farm because, yes, I want that ample amount of space.
And children are animals, also, to say it.
Oh, no, mine are angels when they want to be. Let's put it that way.
Blessings, they're blessings.
I'm combing the market. I need a farm. Guys, I need a farm. I want a farm so bad.
Okay, so you're hearing it. If you're listening, I was about to say, which area are you in? You're Gauteng, hey?
In the east of Gauteng, yes.
And then I wanted to also ask, when you are now, you're high profile. I mean, you are high profile, and we'll get now to the other things that you're doing and how we can get hold of you, perhaps even for speaking engagements and whatnot, because you still make time to do other things. When it comes to you and your hubby, I know you said you guys are attached at the hip, but do you find time to be attached at the hip when you have 11 children running around, if you know what I mean?
Yes, we do now. We do now because, remember, we structured the household in such a way. And we always say to them, we love you guys, but all we were vessels and stewards through whom you came into the world and who must get you prepared for your own lives. And so he always says, my wife comes first. I always say my husband comes first. Like on a casual day, I will not be in the kitchen, right? I make a cook down on a Sunday. Daddy makes a cook down on a Thursday. Every other day, people take turns to cook. And if you see me in the kitchen, it's because I want to make something special for my husband. The rest of you can see to finish. I've done my duty where you're concerned. I've taught you to cook. You cook so excellently.
I love you.
Unless I really feel like spoiling you, you're not seeing me there. So we really prioritize each other. And again, it's in that thing of quality time versus quantity time. So it might be a look across the table. It might be just holding hands together at prayer time. Everyone knowing, oh, here comes mommy, move over. She needs to sit next to daddy. It's the little things, you know, finding time together, making it count.
And then that finding time together to make it count. I know you've only had the 11 since lockdown. So lockdown, obviously, we haven't been able to travel, etc. But when you were still a family of 10, what is just a normal family outing? I mean, do you just hire a bus? Have you ever flown anywhere together? How does it go?
Yes. Oh, yeah. So when we fly, it's a huge, sight. Let's put it that way.
The
entire airline comes to a standstill. They're watching. They're counting. They're doing a head count. You can see their eyes floating over the seats. But they're always quite amazed at how together everyone is, because I believe that you practice indoors what you're going to do on the outdoors. So it's been beautiful every time. But most times I have a long wheelbase mummy van. And it's so amazing how life has humbled me in this motherhood journey, because I used to be the fly car driving, you know, it had to have a name and a label. It had to be branded. It had to be
clean clothes on.
You know what I mean? Exactly. It had to fly. So now, and I always used to say, I'm not the soccer mom. I'm so sorry. Oh, so, so sorry. To see those mothers in those funny hatchbacks and I just, no, not me.
Yeah.
Be careful. So here I am now with a 12-seater. It's not fancy. And when I rock up, what steps out of the car and the car that I came out of do not seem to be congruent, but it works for my family. It gets us along to where we're going to. And you have the stops and the trips. You know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? But it's the most fun. I don't watch TV. Let's put it that way.
Can you imagine?
And many people say, do you not get the children because you don't watch TV, or you don't watch TV because you have the children? You can figure it out.
I think as well, someone right now, because it popped into my head now. So when a question comes to me like this, I know that that's probably what a listener's going to want to know. Are you guys super wealthy? Because how does one afford this many children? Or are you just lucky that you've got lots of support around you?
I'm super, super, super wealthy.
Good
super
girl.
Wealthy. Because I define wealth not as material things.
Oh, there she is. There she is.
I am so wealthy beyond your wildest imagination. My husband was saying to the children the other day, he says, you know, I'm not the kind of man who is so concerned about my next car and my next pair of shoes and looking good. If I was, I would not have had the opportunity to meet all of you great legacies. And that's pretty much how we live our lives, where it's just like, these children are not an expense, they're an investment. They're an investment for today.
Yeah.
And we know we will see it pay forward in the future. But one thing we are is extremely content, very comfortable, never gone hungry. You know, I always say to them, you're wasting food, you're throwing food away. Mm. The same things our mothers said to us. There's a hungry child out there. I hope you never get to see it. Hope you never get to be it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's literally just the everyday like it is in anyone else's household.
I think the inspirational part from you is that you not only sound so together. I think something that you said earlier was like, I feel like a lot of parents take it so personally. And I know that's a weird thing to say, but like my child, so whatever they do is a direct representation of me. And I just love that your husband said, we are the vessels that the soul chose to come through to earth.
Yeah. Just
to keep you alive initially while you live your life. You know, it's a process of letting go from the time that child is born.
Yeah.
And if more people can look at it like that, it's a respect actually for your child to give them that kind of freedom while keeping them safe.
Exactly. That's a true story. I mean, it'll take just a few times of having a child with one red sock and one green sock, and you only discover it when you arrive at your destination. And you have to decide at that point, am I going to care what people say?
Yeah.
Or we've been very clear from the beginning that the legacy we give our children is the future that we forge for them. My boy is 16 now, my oldest.
Yeah.
He was ready for varsity from 15.
Oh.
He couldn't get into any varsity, couldn't get the A levels written because they were stopped globally. And he said to me, you know, they're stopping this. Yes, he said, they stopped this thing. It's going to cost me another year. And that's not going to happen because I had goals set. I've worked so hard. I'm ready. I'm going into varsity at 16. So we were like, okay, if you believe it's possible, I believe it's possible. I can't preach outside what I haven't preached inside. You know, if he says it's possible, I'm going to have to make it happen with him. So we did everything we could. And today he is 16 in varsity with people much older. Just got his first courses completed with a 3.4 GPA.
Congratulations, Mom.
Thank you. But you know, it's just that sense of fly, boy, fly. I'm one of those eagle moms who's like, I'm going to take you up to the sky and I am going to drop you. So I'm not going to give you the chore of pick up your clothes.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to give you the chore of you are in charge of the kitchen today. All of it. Dishes, food served. Is the fridge clean? Is there anything stinky in it? Get it out. Have you emptied the bin? Like end to end. And I know it won't be perfect, but we'll congratulate you for how much you could have done. Because you don't know. I mean, as adults, we keep saying, you know, I can do anything. And, you know, it's just how far I'm willing to push myself. But we don't trust children to ever begin to learn it from that stage.
100%.
So then it's difficult at adulthood.
That's actually where, I remember with my gogo growing up. Obviously, I didn't understand the country when I was small, but I, you know, my gogo raised me a lot. And I remember thinking with her grandchildren on how it was a community raised family and how everyone had their inputs. And I felt like he was able to do so much as well. And I think it's a very, I know my people, the Caucasians, helicopter parents, my goodness, one cannot do one thing without being triple watched. I've got some more questions here from you, from other people I told I was going to be messaging you. Sam wants to know, In your house, obviously 11 children, one still super a baby. Do you have lots of kids fighting? And is this a household where a smack was ever given? No judgment. Just a question.
Do I have kids fighting all the time? So I sat with them yesterday and I was like, guys, you know, is this how you talk when you're just on your own? Like, do you always argue? Do you have anything nice to say to each other? So yes, no. They fight all the time. And they make you look foolish because you want to get involved. And the very next second, they're friends, it's sorted, mm-hmm. and you're still upset on the one's behalf. So really, really get yourself out of it. Yes, they fight, but they make up and they are each other's best friends. Was there ever a smack given? I'll be very honest. Before the government said to stop, I did give those smacks. I did give those smacks. And now it's kind of like, you're lucky it's illegal. But
throw sticks and driving, girl. No one knows.
Here's what I must say. I always say to my children, number one, I will never ever touch you in anger.
God,
never. And so sometimes you never get touched at all because I'll say to you, you go away. You're going to get a smack, but I need to settle down. And of course, once you settle down, the smack's not going to happen because you've reasoned, you've talked. There, you know, just the psychological fear of you're going to get a smack has already corrected them. And so you don't need to raise your hand, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if I do, and often, you know, they would come even to report each other. Mommy so did this, and I don't give a reaction. And they're like, I thought you were going to get it this time. But I would be peaceful. Literally, I could look at you a whole month and say nothing. So they know. I'm like, guy, the day that it happened, you knew that day was coming. Like, you knew, like, this was 6 months coming of promise. But there's all sorts of creative ways to get the message across and to cause them to take responsibility. And what I find is the earlier they take responsibility, like the youngest one who just joined the chores now, he's 9.
Okay.
So he just joined like serious chores. So prior to that, all he did was wipe down the corridor every day, Monday to Friday. And the others used to look at him and say, dude, you've got it so easy, you've got no clue. Now that he actually has to tidy the entire lounge, he'll tell the younger ones, no, don't put your toys here. No, don't, you know, clean your feet. And the older ones are like, you see, so I've got the patience of Job. I bid my time. I'm like, dude, I'll wait for you for 2 years. The time of responsibility is coming. It's okay.
That's when I get to your inspirational talks. I want to find out how we can hire you, where we can see you. But before we get there, obviously, another question coming from Stimpy. So, but I don't know if you're allowed to answer this, but you have to answer immediately so that you can't change your answer. Do you or your husband have any favorites? Yes or no?
No.
Really? It's not like one, maybe on each day. No, you love them all equally. Equal.
No. And they know it. They always say, mommy has no favorites. I have no favorites, but I love them all very uniquely. So they will know she doesn't have a favorite, but I know that she reacts with me or relates with me differently than she relates with him.
Okay.
I know my way is special and his way is special, so I'm not jealous. They'll tell you she has no favorites.
It's really cool, I think, as well, just listening to how you are providing them a space to kind of learn. You're just creating adults that are going to hopefully, it seemingly, have really significant, good relationships growing up with peers, with partners, because they just understand that sharing of space, that sharing of responsibility, that, you know, to each have a turn, because they obviously they've got what they need, but they can't be spoiled because there's 11 of them, you know. And then so tell me, Pearl, before we get to where we can find you, is the shop closed or could we be hearing about number 12, 13, 14? Pearl. Where do we stop?
Pearl, you know that I never opened the shop.
Okay. The shop was open for you by the door. I get it.
Yes, I cannot determine. And so when I went into the pageant, because even that was something that was completely contrary to my character. I'm not one of those, you know, you spoke about the makeup. I laughed real big because I stopped makeup for almost a decade. No makeup, no earrings, no shoes. No, I just switched off from that life. So when I got this inclination that I had to serve my nation in the capacity of a pageant queen, I was like, come on, there's all sorts of ways to do that. Not this, not me. And when I felt that it wasn't disappearing, I then said, okay, here's my deal. I don't control this pregnancy thing. God, please make sure it doesn't happen this year. Do whatever you do, but just don't let me fall pregnant. Just not this year, please. I can't be pregnant in a pageant. And I think God just looked down and went, I'll show you who's God. So yeah, so that one came at that point. But here's my really, really, I don't want to say desperate.
Yeah.
But this is my plea. My sincere plea is, if there's going to be any more, let it stop at 12. Because I kept saying, I'll have more than Gogo. I'll have more than Gogo. And I'm sure Gogo was just looking at me and thinking, Wena, you got no idea. So since I spoke myself into my destiny, obviously unknown to me, I would like to stop just one more than Gogo, and then that's it. But if I'm done now, I'm satisfied. I'm content and I'm blessed.
How it looks in your pictures like a remarkable amount of men there. How many girls do you have?
One.
And where's the girl in the 11?
She's number two.
Good grief. So you had a little boy, a little girl, and then you've just gone 9 boys after that.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, well, good luck to you then. And as I say, I'm quite surprised and still amazed that you can still do so much. I know that you have penned a book recently, and you do some inspirational speaking or some talks. I know that nowadays everything is kind of dear macabre because of what's happened with COVID, but we've moved online.
Yeah.
So if we want to find out more about you, if we want to find your book, if we want to hire you, because I mean, I know right now there's someone sitting who thinks that she's got 2 kids and can't handle it, who wants to just like get some of your magic. Where do we find you? Do you have an agent or your bookings, or how does it all work?
Okay, so you mentioned a book. This was my 4th that I just penned, and it was written in 4 days. So I love that. 4th book in 4 days.
You're too much.
And it's available on Amazon. I've got my YouTube channel where I share a lot of this inspiration. It's called Life of Interruptions. I'm sure you can figure out why.
Life of Interruptions on YouTube. What's your book called?
Life of Interruptions. It's called My Journey to Beautiful.
My Journey to Beautiful.
My Journey to Beautiful.
On Amazon. Life of Interruptions, that's your YouTube channel.
YouTube channel. My latest song with my husband, we've done quite a few, but after the pageant, he wrote me a song called Love Medicine, which is just about pacifying me because, you know, yes, you seem to have lost this, but love is a medicine that makes everything feel better. It's an Afrobeat song because he's a foreign national. Beautiful song that's on YouTube. It's called Love Medicine, John and Pearl Osa.
Wow.
And I'm currently doing quite a few speaking gigs because I've become now, no surprise, the possibility broker. So that's like my new name. I'm the possibility broker.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah, so just hashtag possibility broker. I'm doing corporate gigs where I'm talking to people in the post-COVID life about finding their possible again, finding their dream again, and making it happen. All through, you know, and that being a form of wellness, because you are healthy when you're doing what you're called to do. If you go to my Instagram page at Mrs. Pearl Osa, one word, at Mrs. Pearl Osa, you'll find my link tree in the bio, and that connects you to doing. My phone number is there as well. My email address is there. My website, Alice, and I am available to give those corporate talks.
And before I let you go, to all the dads that are listening, and I mean, you just speak so highly of your husband and what an incredible dad he is. And, you know, I think sometimes dads get quite a bad rap, not always, but everyone, you know, you think about the moms more, even just Father's Day is always kind of put on the side compared to Mom's Day and what that gets. From a mom who has such a supportive and fantastic dad, would you love to give a message, a happy Father's Day message to your hubby and maybe to also the other men who are just such great dads for this Father's Day on Sunday?
I would find it an absolute pleasure and privilege. Thank you. You know, I grew up without my dad really being in the mix, but God fathered me directly by himself. And then he handed me over to this man who is just a perfect. I was just thinking of the other day. I'm like, I literally talked to him like a child, like, I need this. And before I finish the sentence, I've got it. We love you. We honor you. We appreciate you. And fathers, please understand that you are the root and the identity. That your children are going to forge going forward. The reason we're doing the Youth Day program on the 16th of June for orphans turning 18, we're giving them a grand debut, is because, you know, they have to go out and forge their own way in society, but they don't have a base to run to. Oh. We go far and we go high simply because of the roots that we have, that we know no matter how hard we fall, there's always home to come back to and rest on, you know, and these children don't have that. My husband and all those good fathers out there have been that that base, that foundation for your children and what you're trying to do and what you're trying to prove. I know the world hits you. I know they punch you. And I know that home ought to be that haven that you come back to. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but your reward is coming. We love and appreciate you. Keep being and doing what you do because you make us possible. Wow. Love you much.
Pearl Ossa, Mrs. Pearl Ossa, thank you so much. You are really incredible. And for taking this time, I know how important your time is. So for taking this time out for us, I really cannot thank you enough. From the bottom of my heart, it's been such a pleasure getting to speak to you. I really think you are phenomenal. And I speak for all women who have listened to you. You're just like out of this world, really. There's something. It's incredible. So just thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.